Monica.
Come on, he hasn't come on yet.
Okay, thanks.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Is it just you?
No, Malka.
Okay, it's not Malka.
Good evening.
So we are continuing our deep Zohar study of the Parsha Noach in section 26, starting with verse 196 tonight, and I'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud, Kutshabarichu Ishkin Te Bidhilu Urchimu Udhilu Udhilu Urchimu Liakta L'shem Yud He Bavate B'Yehuda Shalim B'Shen Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayihinu amadunai Elohinu alein ma'asei adenu kanunei alein ma'asei adenu kanuneihu. Kachatei kad barnash, kachatei kamei. Ma'areya viamshich garmeya viitkasya kutshabarichu aved beya. Dina deit galia, the cod barnash ad ke garmea, kud shabri hu bae bae liastara. Leia Dila Yitkaze Biom Afashem Dila Died Ibae Leia Leinash Inish Dila Yitkaze Kame Beha Bila Kad Sharia Al Alma Dila Yistakal Beya deha kol yinun de yitchazum kameya it leya rishu lehabala kabala. Come and see. When a person sins before his master and sins further by hiding himself and making himself believe that nobody is watching him, then the Holy One, blessed be He, punishes him openly. But when that person purifies himself and repents, then the Holy One, blessed be He, seeks to hide him so that he should not be seen on the day of the wrath of Hashem. For certainly every person should hide himself so as not to be seen by the angel of destruction when the latter dwells in the world. He should not see him, as he is authorized to destroy all those whom he sees. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I'm thinking of the verse that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides in the shelter of Hashem.
But that was the last one.
And this is probably why Hashem says, "Be ye holy as I am holy," because it's a protection shield.
Agreed. But why did we need to learn about it again? What is new in the verse?
Because every day is a new day.
That's true.
I was in a waiting room this morning at the hospital, waiting with, you know, registering for a procedure next week. And the room was full, and right directly across me was a lady. She was very crippled, and you could tell, you know, she was mumbling and everyone was avoiding her. But she was directly across from me. I couldn't hear her very well, but I'd catch a word or two. And she pointed to Tony, who was on the side of me, and asked me if that was my friend. And I said, "No, that's my husband." And she said, "Husband, how long have you been married?" And I said, "Oh, 59 years. My first thought was, no one's talking to her. But my thought was, Hashem is right here too. And I've learned in the past that people who have problems, that they really have a high soul. And if I ignored her, it was like I was embarrassing Hashem. But I couldn't hear her. I'd catch a few words, you know. So after she said, "Oh, you've been married 57 years? She said, "I'm," and she said a number, "my birthday. I just had a birthday." And so I heard birthday, and I said, "I just had a birthday too." And then she pointed to, there was a lady on the side of Tony, and she said, "Is that your sister?" I said, "No, just this one belongs to me." And then she began to tell me she had a tooth pulled. And before I knew it, the room was empty. But I felt like just these last few days of just, I mean, I feel like I'm always aware of the presence of Hashem because I've had so many experiences. With actually, you know, feeling the presence. But I thought that was one of the times. It was like Hashem was watching. And I don't know. I think these last few verses of just being aware, you know, that Hashem's always there, whether it's a dark time or if it's a light time. If it's something we're going through that's hard, or whether or not it's a happy time. And I kind of think of Psalm 91 with this verse, too. And we know that, I think we've already learned that if there's a plague in the city, you don't go out because, you know, the rain falls on the just and the unjust, so the angel of destruction can get you out there too. So Anyway, that's what I thought of.
Understood, but you're not really answering the question that I'm raising. You brought it up and said, yes, we learned it. We learned that we're not supposed to go out in the city. But here we're learning that the negative system is given permission to destroy anything he sees.
Right.
Which is a difference than going into the marketplace.
Well, if he's in the marketplace, I'm not sure what you're driving for. I don't see the difference. Whether it's a marketplace, whether it's home, whether it's in a hospital office waiting room like today.
But it is a difference. Otherwise, the words would be expressed the same. There is a difference.
Okay, well, you'll have to point it out.
It's in the concept of the angel of destruction dwelling in the world versus being in the marketplace, which is a city. You understand the difference now?
Okay. Are you meaning dimensions, different dimensions?
Yes, or different capacities.
Consciousness.
If someone was in the marketplace and had the merit to see, here comes the Satan. Where do they go? Well, in the verse when we talked about that, the verse said, go into your house. But essentially it's saying, find a place outside of the marketplace. Here it's saying, there's no place you can escape it without your connection to Hashem. If the Satan is in the marketplace, you just go into your house. You don't have to run around. You can go to another city where he's not there. Is it clear?
I guess. I just take for granted that Hashem is going to show me the path. Let me give you an example. One year when I was teaching at the synagogue, that year, all the students were, this was the very first year I taught, was in 204, to adults, Hebrew classes. And everyone that came was from the community. They were not Jewish. I mean, I had several ministers and different walks of life, you know, but there was one particular man who lived in the neighborhood, and he would come to class with a rhinestone headpiece that had the name of the man from Nazareth. And because there was no one from the synagogue at the time that I was teaching the class, I kind of let it ride. The other students didn't say anything, but one day he was absent. And so it gave me a chance to talk to the rest of them. And we talked about it, and I said, well, no one from the synagogue is there because they wouldn't have liked it, okay? And they probably would have ushered him out. But we all agreed we should just let him be, you know? He was a likable fellow. He didn't talk about his religion or anything, but anyway. But when he came in the next time, you know, I don't remember if it was the next time or how long after, but anyway, when he walked in the room, this And actually, I don't remember if this happened after that incident that I just finished telling you or if it was before. But a shield, like a piece of glass, just went in front of me. That's what I saw. And then I saw these little arrows punching the glass. And I got to thinking about it. It wasn't arrows like a bow and arrow. It was the arrow like you see on your computer with your mouse. And so I took that to mean that Hashem was letting me know that he was speaking words or else he was praying words toward me. And what can you, you know, what could you do? We had already, you know, I'd already just kind of let it pass by because I felt like that Hashem was putting that shield and the arrows were words. In other words, Hashem showed me he was taking care of it. So I just like to trust that if I get in a situation where the angel of destruction is there, just like a couple of weeks ago when we almost were in that accident, I still don't know how we got out of that. So I'm just trusting that he's going to show me where to go if the angel of destruction shows up.
When the angel of destruction shows up, we need to not be there. We need not to be in a situation where he cannot see us. That's what this verse is saying. Whereas the previous verse is saying that the angel of destruction is limited to a particular city. That if you left the city, you would be protected.
Hello.
I believe somebody wanted to. Yes, Malka.
I just take this verse to just kind of give an overview of what happened with Noah and that generation. There was nowhere for them to flee because of the flood and the situation, but he took Noah and his family and they concealed them to where they were not present or they were protected from the angel of death. So just kind of.
Go ahead, finish.
Just kind of sums up what actually just, you know, if you picture it, that's exactly what happened. There was nowhere for the generation that was mocking Noah or didn't believe in what he was saying to them about the flood. And the angel of death just swallowed them all up, with the exception of Noah and his family. And that's, you know, that was their protection. So I guess we put ourselves in that situation. It really brings to mind about repentance. And being protected by Hashem, because he will take care of us. If we have a true heart and we did repent of our sins, he will somehow, some way, protect us.
Correct.
And that's why I said at the beginning, it reminds me of why he says, "Be ye holy as I am holy."
Right.
You know.
I think, you know, not... Don't know how, don't know when, don't know where, but you know he will take care of his children.
Well said to both of you. Let me read 197.
I think the hardest image that I had to get over, because, you know, from coming from another religion, that Hashem was not a person, this was years ago, was the idea, just like I could climb on my daddy's lap when I was a little girl, there were times when I felt like I needed to climb into to Hashem's lap. Now, maybe I didn't know him as Hashem, but when I knew that he was not the man from Nazareth and he wasn't a man, I had a hard time visualizing sitting in the lap on a chair of air. You know, it would look like air because Hashem wasn't a man. And to me, that's the part of, maybe it's part of a meditation because, you know, you feel like you need that safety, you need that, like the advanced reincarnation the other night said that Cain felt like he needed a smile from God. Okay, well, it's like, okay, you can't climb into the arms of Hashem because physically, but you can still have that sense of being in, on his lap and in his arms without there being any arms and lap.
Right.
You know, so. But y'all have to remember, I taught little, you know, I taught young kids and we play acted and we dramatized and I had to write plays because every year we had to do a play. Each grade had one a month. And so I learned to use my imagination and I guess it carries over.
Verse 197. V'hainu dekamar Rabbi Shimon kol barnash d'yene iya b'ishayina din chabila v'sharya alo v'ihu mechabila d'yama yikre Billy by a laya, the Nashly East Tamra, Minea Villa eat carava, the Hadaya, Dilla eat Zak the Asir, the meek Rav Bahadea, the eat Galia, Umish soon. Ake ke ish ra ayin baye li stab mira mineya mik me malacha mavet alachat kama vekama. Rabbi Shimon said that every person who has the evil eye has upon him the eye of the angel of destruction, who is called the destroyer of the world. Therefore, all should be aware of such a person and not come close to him. By avoiding him, one shall be protected. It is forbidden to openly approach such a person. Exposing ourselves to his evil eye, if we must beware of a person with the evil eye, so much more must we be aware of the angel of death. Death? Beware of the angel of death and hide ourselves on the day of the wrath of Hashem. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, you can't always be sure of persons who are giving you the evil eye because you don't know what they're thinking or what they might be jealous of. I know in one class I took on Ashen Hara, Lashen Hara and Ayin Hara, I remember it was mentioned that you shouldn't even show someone your house. You know, if they come in other words, maybe you're proud or you say, oh, well, I want you to come look at my new bedroom suit or something like that, that you shouldn't do it. Or that you don't know who might in your class be jealous of your knowledge or the way you dress. I think I even remember Rabbi Zadok giving the example one time about a couple walking down the street, and a lady that was behind them was really dressed really nice and beautiful, and she bypassed them and came in front of them, and the woman with the man that were walking, she made a comment about the woman. I think she called her the B word. And at the next intersection, the woman that was so nicely dressed got hit by a car. So there was evidence of the angel of death, yet maybe the woman that got hit by the car, I don't remember the rest of the story, but she may not have been aware that that woman said those words about her. And I don't remember the story as to what happened to the woman who called her the B word. So, you... I also remember a story about one of the sages. It may have been the Baal Shem Tov. I don't remember which specifically, but he was preceded in a seminar or something where the person before him gave his presentation and he had notes. And so, let's say it was the Baal Shem Tov. I don't remember exactly who, but anyway, when it came his turn, he went up to the podium with a blank sheet of paper for it to look like he had notes for two reasons. One, he didn't want the person who came before him to feel embarrassed. And I think possibly the idea of people in the audience also, you know, being aware of Ayanha, of jealous thoughts, of the way he presented and the way he taught and the way he spoke.
Right.
We don't always recognize that that's going on. I think
we rarely recognize it.
Well, I think in one of your classes, I remember you telling us about, I think it was you, about complimenting. Let's say this person comes up and you're next to another person, so you're a threesome. And the one person says, oh, I love your dress. Or, oh, your hair is so pretty. And the other person feels bad because you didn't say anything about them. You know, and those are just little things that I think we have to watch out for, but bring on the evil eye.
Sometimes I feel like you have a presence. You feel a presence of evilness or personalities that you just kind of back away from.
Mm-hmm.
That's sometimes I feel that presence. And sometimes when you acknowledge, if you say hello or something like that, and they're just completely silent, To me, I'm just like, okay, I'm a back away from this, you know, from this situation.
I need to call time because of our time is up, but we haven't really finished this verse, and I'll come back to it tomorrow.
Okay, all right, bye-bye.
Good night. There'll be a Tiffany Zohar class tonight as well.
Right. See you at 9:00.
Okay.